by them as they travel to Jerusalem. So songs that live deeply in their hearts shape their understanding of their own lives and their walk with God. And so they have a lot to teach us. And we're going to focus this morning especially on verse 3 and the perspective we see there on how to view our children and the gift of God in our children and the implications of that for our lives as parents in raising our children. Beginning in verse 1, this is God's word, a song of ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. This far the reading of God's holy and infallible word. You'll be helped just to leave your Bible open as we look at this psalm, especially in light of verse 3. Our children are a heritage from the Lord, an inheritance, a possession from the Lord. This is a strange statement. We encountered this word, heritage, inheritance, just the other day when we saw how the evil King Ahab wanted the vineyard of Naboth. But Naboth said, no, you can't have it because it was an inheritance from my fathers, an inheritance of the Lord. It is a trust that may not be sold. Here, Solomon makes clear that our children are an inheritance from the Lord. And this is upside down, isn't it? Because children receive an inheritance from their fathers. How can a child be an inheritance? It seems the wrong way around. Why did he choose this word? Because he wants to bring through this upside down perspective home that our children are God's first before they are ours. And they come to us from God. They are God's gift to us. Hebrew poetry is known for making two parallel statements. And you need to read the two of them together. The one further explains the other. And here, it's very clear that they talk about the same thing. Children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward from the Lord. That's the implications. Now, the word reward here should not be understood as something deserving, something in which the Lord pays us for what we have done. No, the emphasis, when we combine the word heritage, inheritance, with reward, is on the goodness of the gift that God gives us in our children. They are a rewarding gift, a good gift, a gift that brings with it blessing. This is the perspective we need to embrace. In our culture and in the environment in which we live, this perspective is more necessary than ever. There is an assault on the family. There is an assault that makes us think that children are actually a blight. They are arguments that the carbon footprint that a child brings, which is our responsibility because we bring the children into this world, so we are responsible for destroying the environment by having more and more children. It boggles our minds that people can think that is a virtuous argument. But that is the culture in which we live. And it's a culture which sees we are the ones who produce children. We, they are our choice. And that's the culture in which we live. Now, it has multiple implications and effects. That argument I just mentioned is probably one of the worst. But it manifests itself in other ways too. The whole idea that children are really a hindrance to our lives. A burden. A career destroyer. Joy inhibiting. It's behind much of the abortion industry. It is also the reason for so many childless marriages. I came across an article in the Indiana Times not too long ago in which the author wrote, after she has read numerous articles on why people would opt for a childless marriage, the reasons range from financial strain, according to the quality of education, to simply not wanting to be bogged down with the entire process. The pressures of good parenting and having to fit within set parameters of how to function as good parents. The non-stop needs and demands. They want the freedom to travel, the freedom to relocate, the freedom to live without any constraints. Our culture and our environment despise children because they're a burden. Now, before we become too self-righteous, we ourselves are at times so overwhelmed, aren't we, with the task of parenting that we might begin to think our children are a hindrance. Even though we despise ourselves for thinking that way, there are moments when we are so exhausted, so overtired, that we feel that way about our children. Let's remind ourselves that even in those moments, our children are a reward and inheritance from the Lord, to remind us that we cannot parent out of our own strength, that our weariness is meant to drive us to the Lord, that the demands, the incessant demands that our children make upon us, especially when they're small, and the weariness we feel is a constant reminder that we do not have the strength in ourselves to make life flourish. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord provides strength as we parent, you parent in vain. You do not have the energy or the strength to do what God asks of you in yourself. And your children is a gift to remind you of how weak you are, how absolutely dependent you actually are on the Lord. And the promise of baptism for you is that He is there as your Father to supply you with what you need for the children He has given you. So take your weariness, take your burden, and bring it to the Lord, and He will strengthen you for this task. But now, there is another extreme in which we misunderstand this gift from the Lord. And that's to go to the other extreme, and I would say this is where we are most prone. The very thinking that we are the ones who have control to bring our children into this world. And as Christians, we love children, or we should. And we emphasize the importance. And for some of us, it seems like we have control over the process. We can time when we want, roughly speaking, to have our children. And for those for whom it comes easy, it's very easy to look down on others as though somehow, maybe they don't like children. Maybe they think children is a hindrance. And in the way in which we deal with those who struggle to have children, we may make assumptions. Assumptions born not out of this understanding that children are a gift, but out of an understanding that we are the ones who can have children when we want, whenever we want. Children are a gift from the Lord, and He sovereignly opens the womb, and He sometimes closes it. Those who struggle to have children carry a huge burden, which we need to sympathize with. Actually, a central part of the story of God's Word and the coming of Christ into this world is how God cares for those who struggles to have children, whose wombs are closed, and he opens them. But in his time, often in unexpected ways, Abraham and Sarah, Hagar, Hannah, I should say. Hagar too, but for a different reason. But Hannah and John's parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, and there's many other stories. And what we see here is God's sovereign provision. And that should make us sensitive always, so that we walk with those who long for children, but God in his sovereign wisdom has not rewarded them or given them this inheritance yet. We live in a culture in which our technology makes it possible to produce children, but it comes with a lot of challenges, because those who work in that field do not share our ethics, and they will do anything to produce a child for you. If you want a child bad enough, they will give you one in whatever means they can. But we cannot sanction any way in which the sovereignty of God and the sanctity of marriage will be denied. Those who go that road need to think very principally what is acceptable biblically. I don't have time to lay up a framework for that this morning, but it's worthwhile to think deeply about it because of the complications. God is sovereign. Children is his gift. Often he chooses to give us children through adoption, which is a wonderful way in which he fulfills still his inheritance to parents. And so there are ways in which God blesses those who are childless in themselves with children. But it always has to be in a way in which his sovereignty is made clear. That upside-down thinking we need to embrace. Now, what's the implication of that for us as parents? Two things I want to emphasize. When we embrace that our children are God's gift to us, that they are not the product of what we have done, but they are given to us by the Lord sovereignly, we understand that they are a trust, a sacred trust, a responsibility from the Lord. And so I want to emphasize two things. First of all, we have a responsibility to train and teach them. Our children comes to us not fully formed. I hope that's no surprise to you. They come to us, and we are given the task to help shape and mold their character. As parents, we often discover that they are surprisingly different than what we would have thought. And that's part of God's gift too. They have their own personalities and character. And yet, there is so much in which God uses our input to teach our children what it means to live in His world, in kindness, in humility, in generosity, in how to view life here. We saw in baptism this morning the wonderful way in which God binds Himself to our children, that He promises that He is their God and they are His children. He is their Father. He is their Savior. He is the one who sanctifies them. And we as parents have the responsibility to teach our children what does it mean to have a Father in heaven. What does it mean that the Lord has promised to watch over their lives in such a way that He would save and protect them from all evil? Or the evil that He does allow to come through, He will turn to their profit. You see, it takes faith for us to believe that. And it takes faith for our children to believe that. And it's part of our responsibility to help our children that where they struggle, where they are overwhelmed and burdened by life, to know that they can go to their Father at any moment, at any time, and He will provide for them. He will protect them, shield them. They don't have to be overwhelmed by anxiety and fear. We need to teach them that when they sin, Jesus is always ready to forgive. We need to show them what it means to repent, what it looks like to repent. How do you ask for forgiveness? How do you rest in Christ as your only Savior? How will our children know that if we don't teach them, show them, help them? And let's be honest, there are plenty of opportunities to point that out. Every time we discipline is an opportunity to teach them to repent. And let me say, as I'm sure, if you haven't noticed it already, you will notice it very soon as a parent. Every occasion for your child to repent is also occasion for you to repent. Because normally when you discover your child needs to repent, you have already sinned yourself in your reaction to what they have done. We, as parents, may not in sin parent our children. How often do we not chastise our children in a way which exposes our own sinfulness? And when we repent towards our children for sinning against them, we are teaching them how to repent towards the Lord. And what I've discovered is that my children respond best to anything I have to say after I've repented, way better than before I repent. That if we seek to teach our children out of our own self-righteous anger or our self-righteous response to them, our children also respond in self-defense. And when you see your child respond that way, that is a sign that maybe you need to repent. It's amazing how our children has a sense of right and wrong. They know when they're being sinned against, don't they? Just like you. And when you see that in their reaction, it is a gift to you. And you see, you don't only help your children to embrace the gospel, but they help you to embrace the gospel. The Holy Spirit is already the down payment that prepares us for heaven. And he is the one who brings the promises of Christ and makes them alive in our hearts. Without him, there is no repentance. There is no understanding of sin. There is no understanding of the Word of God. Without the presence of the Holy Spirit, your children cannot obey you. I'll say it again. Without the presence of the Holy Spirit, your children cannot obey you. They may outwardly obey and conform to what you want, but it is not the obedience that you want in the end. I will do what you say, but I won't like it. That's not obedience. The obedience that we want, we cannot produce by parenting. Only the Holy Spirit can produce that kind of obedience. And in baptism, he promised that he will work. And we need to teach our children to depend not on their own innate character and strength to obey. If we merely train our children to obey out of their own strength, we're teaching them self-righteousness. We're raising Pharisees. We need to help our children to cast themselves upon the Holy Spirit's empowering grace. Because only he can help them obey. And so you need to teach your children how to ask for his help to obey what you ask. Because without him they won't obey. They can't obey. This is our task. To teach our children how to live . But secondly, God gives us our children as an inheritance, as a reward. And that calls us to entrust him with our children. And here is a word of tremendous hope for us as parents. God loves our children more than we do. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he cares for your children more than you do. If you don't believe that, you will be anxious and overwhelmed as a parent with fear, and you will have only sleepless nights. We are reminded that God knows each of our children, each child He has given us. He knows. He knows who they are. He knows what kind of struggles they will have. He knows all that you may need. And in giving them to us, He knows that He will also provide what we need to raise our children. And so we can entrust our children to His care. Do you notice how beautifully the psalmist here, after he has made very clear that we can't do anything without the Lord, he makes clear that when we rest in the Lord, we have true rest. We don't toil anxiously. We don't fret about it. And the reason we don't fret about it is because the Lord is in and in charge. He is the one who cares for our children. He is the one who ultimately provides. And so we can sleep, knowing that when we are not able, He is always able. When our children are not with us, when they move away from us or grow up, they are still under God's care. So trust Him. The sign and seal of baptism is such a comfort to us, a reminder that God has bound Himself to our children. Some of you may have children who have wandered from the faith. Some of you may have had lots of cares for children, and you have one, you have anxiety, fears, you wonder where they are, how things will be. In the end, we can only trust and entrust our children to the Lord. Trust Him. Trust Him to do what you cannot do. Trust Him to want to do what you desire for your children. If you desire their well-being, don't you think the Lord desires their well-being too? Do not doubt the goodness of the Lord. He provides us children as an inheritance and a reward. Not merely for a moment, but for all eternity. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You and praise You for this simple yet beautiful perspective that You give us, our children, as an inheritance from Your hand. Will You help us to capture this understanding, and may it shape the way in which we look at our children We praise and magnify your name, Lord, for the blessing that so many of us have seen in the lives of our children, and how you have worked beyond anything that we did as parents to work your love and grace into the hearts of our children, making them men and women who love and worship you. For that we praise you, Lord. And so we pray for those who are wandering away from you, who find themselves in rebellion against you. May you come to expose their heart, the emptiness of life without you. And may they come to see that you truly are the only Savior. May their hearts be drawn back to you, Lord. Be with us as we raise our children. Be especially with Jonathan and Emily and Jacob and Haley. Give them the grace they need in this task that you have set before them. May they trust you and entrust their children to you. And may they be faithful as they teach and train them. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.